Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special podcast. Okay. This is the arena, y'all, where we don't avoid the hard conversations and walk straight into them. Because the truth is, life can change in a moment without warning, without preparation, no time to catch your breath. That's the arena. And there's also a kind of grief that comes with that. It doesn't just hurt, but it literally rewires you. Even in that, you guys, I'm gonna make this very clear. God is still present, He's still working, and He's still able to bring purpose out of your pain. So, if you've ever experienced loss or even feared it, this conversation is really gonna matter to you. Okay, today's guest is Julia Lindenthal. She turned one of the hardest moments of her life into something meant to help other people. Julia, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat, for your time, for all the things. And I start everybody with the same question to just give us your elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you do? And what makes you special, darling?
Oh, well, yes, thank you so much for having me again. It's great to be here. So I'll just jump right in. So in November of 2024, so coming up on a year and 5 months now, for us, the unthinkable happened. I lost my father very suddenly when, at least on the outside, he was in seemingly very good health. He was, working out regularly. He was a great athlete. He was even winning tennis tournaments, and he was responsible. He went to the doctor. He had a healthy lifestyle. We just thought he had years left, and we learned, after his sudden passing, that he had died of aortic dissection. But it was really because of calcified plaque that had hardened in that area of his aorta, which was close to his heart, and then severed, dissected the other side of his aorta. And coming out of my as a part of my mourning and just trying to learn about what happened to him for our own family's health, proactive. Just preventative health measures we wanted to take. I learned that, what happened to my father is actually not super rare. That one of the reasons why this happened to him is because we don't currently have a cure for artery and regular for regular artery and calcified artery plaque. And actually, calcified and regular artery plaque are the leading causes of heart attacks, aortic dissection and aneurysm, strokes, heart disease, heart failure, etc. And these heart-related issues actually kill more Americans than all cancers combined. These heart-related issues kill about 25% of Americans, 33% of people worldwide. And one of the big reasons for that is that although they've made strides in the medical arena and in heart health, generally speaking, we don't currently have a cure for artery plaque. There are a number of charities and privately held biotech companies in particular. Some of those biotech companies, a number of them were only just started anywhere between 2016 and 2018, and they have made very significant strides since then to come up with a cure for both regular and calcified artery plaque. So I'm very hopeful. But I realized that if I didn't know about this reality and didn't, think that this could ever kill my father, and I was blessed with an education that my parents emphasized, and I was a person that tried to stay informed through reading and, and whatnot, then a lot of other people are probably not informed. And I can try to use advocacy to fundraise for the fundraiser that I started in my father's name through the Heart Foundation, in which all of the money goes toward research to find a cure for this.
No, that's
So here we
incredible.
are.
That's incredible. And there's so much to unpack now because I like my brain has so many questions. The work that you're doing, I guess I'll start there. Everything that you're doing, has it helped you? Because I mean, this is sudden and unexpected, right? That kind of grief, which I don't think any grief for any person, it's all individual. It's not really comparable, but like that sudden shock, I feel like is so much different than someone who knows they're dying of cancer and they can say goodbye, right? Like they have 3 months to say things. And being that this is sudden and unexpected, like I can't imagine the emotion that you guys felt even that day, just incredibly. But everything that you have put yourself into, has that helped process grief for you? Like taking an active approach to, okay, well, I'm going to make this matter.
Yes. So for me, it's just, I think that the whole experience of everything, what happened to my father, proved to me that everything I thought I knew about health and about him was wrong. Right. So I thought he had years left. He was responsible and, everything was seemingly great, at least on the outside. And so for me, it was multifaceted in that I had to deal with the reality of what I thought was true or what I wanted to believe was true was, not true. So it was kind of a double whammy, I would say, in that regard. So for me, it just, yes, when sudden death happens, I never got to say goodbye to my father. They were here in Arizona. I was in New York at the time. I got on an airplane to be here, so a lot of what I do now is certainly with the idea of wanting to memorialize him, because that's what we can do when we do lose our loved ones, when they're no longer physically with us. And for me, it's also just about, I think that as a part of my process, what I realized from this was how important mourning is, and that, we don't like to talk about death, but it's to a point where I think that people are not as prepared as they could or should be for these life experiences. And I feel that there is more that can be done to prepare people a bit better. And, people should feel more comfortable talking about this because it was such a debilitating, terrible experience. And one of the things I would say now, about a year and 5 months coming out of it, is I never, ever could have imagined that I would be, feeling so much, better about what happened now. Time really does heal, and I do want to do my part to spread that viewpoint, because I want people to know that, you can move on from these terrible losses. Even in that time, you feel like you just will never be able to move forward.
And I think it's fair to feel like your whole world stops. It's fair to feel
Your
like for
world
that
stops.
moment, like
Don't even know who you are anymore.
you can't go
That's how
on.
it feels.
Def
You
I
suffer
can
from a massive identity crisis.
Yes.
You're all very normal things. And I think for me, people should talk about this a bit more,
Yes.
because you should know it could be helpful to a person to hear this. And when they're going through it, it won't be easier for them. But just to know that they're not alone, that it's very, very normal, because no one ever talked to me about this. And then when this happened, it was such an out-of-body experience. And now I sort of want to take something negative and try to help other people and turn it into something positive as much as I can.
Of course. What is something that losing a parent suddenly, that no one understands outside of like losing your identity, is there a point here where you just kind of looked at people and you're like, you have no idea?
Yeah, so one of the things that I learned from this experience is that there's a very big difference between, this is not something that I ever thought of before. There's a very big difference between people who've lost a parent on the planet and those who haven't yet, right? You don't even realize how lucky you are until you go through this, right? And on top of that, in my case, right, what I tell people is that I was incredibly spoiled before I went through this. The few people that I knew who passed away were much older. They were old. They were in their 90s. And it was when my father passed, funny enough, we then saw a number of other people, a number of them who were younger than him, pass away also suddenly, and not suddenly, but all from heart-related issues. So this has really become my life's work to try to prolong life and reduce sudden death, which I see as the outcome, a very strong outcome of finding a cure for calcified and regular artery plaque.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. A little, I mean, you talked about, this not only just a shift in identity, but chemically altering experience for you. What is,
Yes.
explain that to us.
So one of the things, again, because no one, people don't like to talk about these things, and no one had ever talked to me about this before. When I got the phone call that my dad died, things happen to your body. People should know that. They should be prepared so that when it happens, you know that this is very normal. Your body goes cold in a way that I never even thought was possible. It's just, it was almost like I was frozen in an ice ocean, right? It was an icy ocean. I mean, it was unlike anything I've ever experienced before. And in that moment, right, if you have never had something like that happen before, you haven't had an emotional experience that caused that type of physical reaction. It's only because I went through that that I can tell you for sure that emotional experiences have a profound impact on our physical bodies and on our health. And I can't really just, I don't know how to describe it much more than that. And then just my whole body went cold in a way that it never had before. I was totally numb. You look back, when you get through something like that, you realize that you can get through a lot of things.
I
It
mean,
is the hardest thing that you will ever go through.
right. I definitely can relate to that. And the fact you can keep going just says a lot. That is something that a lot of people would let crush them, and they would let the guilt consume them. And I think what a beautiful honor to your father's legacy that you're doing everything he would want you to do, which is not mourn forever, not cry, not pause your life, but like you became proactive and to actually care about reaching other people to keep someone else from experiencing this, I think is incredible. What is something that you needed most in those really early days that you didn't have that someone listening could maybe understand in the experience?
Sure. So I think, again, sort of mentioning this before, that there's a big difference between people who've lost a parent and those who haven't. I'm a very different person now after my father's sudden passing. I am a more empathetic person. I've been through really, truly debilitating loss now, way earlier than I thought I would have. So I think that you have to that you think that your closest friends will be the people that will be there for you, and they are and should be. But there's a difference between your friends that have been through this versus ones that haven't. And that's one of the biggest takeaways, right, from this is the people that have been through this were some of the most empathetic and helpful to me. Because they just, there's no way that a person can understand something if they haven't felt that in their bodies. And that's the thing about death. We talk about death as if it is a normal and natural part of life, but it's not until you have gone through this type of loss, right? It's not a normal and natural part of life, right? It's so until you've been through it, you just don't understand what goes on in your body. It's
No, I think
So
exactly what you're saying, Julia, is that we all know it's the one guarantee we have, right? Like we all know we're gonna die, but like I'm 46 years old and I've never had that experience of losing someone personal, so death is not regular to me. Do I know what happens to everybody? Yeah, but it's not like I'm
you've had you're right.
callous. I'm not like, yeah, I've been through it a couple times. Like it's no. Like
Right.
it's I don't think anything, no matter how much we talk about it, I really don't think there is a way to truly prepare for that experience, because what I've known to be true with people that I've worked with that are grieving, is that you have to become a new person now because who you were with this person in your life is so different
Correct.
than who you're going to become now. And so
Correct.
you don't just lose your dad. Like you really do lose a part of yourself. It's a rebirth, you know?
Correct.
So
Correct.
that's,
Absolutely.
people aren't prepared for that. Changes are always
Correct.
scary. And the minute you're not who you were anymore, like your world's upside down. That's.
Yes, it's an amazing concept, because the other part of that is that also I can't stress how important it is to take time to mourn. It's so easy when you're in these moments, and you can do, by the way, I mean, I was so tired of crying 3 days, after my dad died, that I finally went out for a run, 5 days after he passed. I kind of wanted, was just, again, so tired of being in this horrible negative state that I wouldn't get on the video. Obviously, I was emotionally unstable, but I would just listen in off a video on work calls just to somehow try to get back. But the one thing I can share with people is that you can do all of those things, and I'm not telling you not to, probably going for a run and trying to keep things moving is good, but it will take time. There's a difference between trying to be productive and recognizing that it will take time. It will take a minimum of a full year to get over, to start to get over the loss of a parent. And over time, it gets easier, but it's really the minimum of a year. And mourning, and actually truly mourning, I read a book during that time called Healing After Loss, which was very helpful to me in my mourning. I got a lot of support from friends who were very helpful, who've been through this. People obviously join bereavement groups. I joined an online bereavement group that I found, which was even the online bereavement group I found was helpful. I kind of leaned into spirituality at that time. So I can't stress that enough. I made mistakes trying to socialize too early, because there's no rule book, and I wasn't presented with any resources like, Julia, be aware of this. Like, nobody said to me, well, a month and a half after your dad passes, you'll want to go to a holiday, or a Christmas party, right? You'll want to get out there and celebrate the holidays after you've been in mourning for a while. And as you're getting ready for the party, you feel fine. And on your way to the party, you feel fine. And then you get there, and it doesn't, it, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like you get there and you're around a lot of people and you feel like you're on drugs. It's the craziest experience, because your body just isn't ready to normalize that type of socializing again. You're still very chemically altered. And you'll say and do things that you never would have, because you're not your normal self. So I like sharing those things now, because I want to turn, a negative experience and be able to help other people. And because I know from the experience that people are not as prepared for this as we could be. And I think there's a lot of good that can come from it.
No, I love the work that you're doing and the fact that you're able to be so personal about your experience. And I don't think everybody can share the exact same experience, but having something relatable and just even that guide of just like, hey, it might feel like this is a good idea, but just be prepared, like what's possible on the other side. Like the minute you get here around all this energy, your body's going to go back to that. No, I'm not safe. Take me home. Everything sucks. So I love that you're sharing this experience. And I know, I mean, I can't imagine, I feel like it does get easier with time, but I mean, I think you're never going to stop missing him. Like I believe everything you go through, right? You're going to be like, man, I wish Dad could see this. Like that's always going to be, a part of that process. How do you think that has really gotten easier to where it's not such an emotional traumatic response? Because I imagine the first, right? Like your first Christmas, your first birthday, his anniversary with your mom, like all those things that happen the first time you come around, he's not here, I imagine hurt a lot. How does that kind of lesson for you? I mean,
Yeah, so that's right. So, and that's one of the things. I'm very blessed to have my aunt, actually my dad's older sister, who is fully functioning and amazing. And she actually runs bereavement groups. And she said something very important to me when I was, going through my grieving process. And she says, Julia, you have to create the world, the life that you want to live in lieu of the life that you thought you were going to have. Right? There are all these milestones and things that I had planned for my dad and I. And so that is true. And I sort of have, taken that because I realized that in life, that everything is always changing. And I think that you have to, now that my father is gone, I realize that everything is always changing and not everyone around me is going to be there forever, right? And to kind of appreciate what I have. I appreciate what I have instead of what I don't have much more than I did before. I took things for granted before because I hadn't been through this loss and I didn't think it was possible to go through this anytime soon. So it's now I'm just grateful for everything I do have because I know it's,
It can change that
I
fast.
know it can change like that.
So what do you, let's go back to like your mission now. Which I mean, I know talking about all this is part of it, but like, what do you think people are missing, when it comes to the artery plaque and prevention?
So there is a lot more research and talk in the media now before. I'd like there to be a lot more, but it certainly has started around the fact that we don't have a cure for artery plaque. The fact that that it's really artery and calcified artery plaque that is the main causes of most of these heart-related issues, right? And blood flow-related issues, right? Including strokes and thus sudden death for a number of these. So I think that for a long time, we've always made strides in the medical space to prolong life. But in the world that we're living in, people that are genetically predisposed to artery plaque are the ones that are more at risk, right, than those who are not. And I actually have a good friend, and she lost her father. He was younger than mine. He was only 75 in the same way that my dad had passed very suddenly. This happened just over a year after my dad passed. And I said to her that we're living in a world that is inherently unfair right now. It's very promising, but we're not there yet for all people. And right now we're living in a world in which people are living into their 90s. Some of them are living beyond that. There's a guy, our family friend in our building, lived into be 104. I have another friend whose father lived to be 101. And you're hearing those stories pop up more and more. But then you still have people that are dying of these heart-related issues when they are far too young. So just in the same way that, I believe that something like polio, we were able to find a cure for that, and that's basically been eradicated. I don't hear of almost anyone who has polio anymore. I would like to see a similar type of, response to a solution that we develop for people that are genetically prone to these heart-related issues because of genetically prone to artery plaque.
So, what kind of research is done? Like, what is there anything that they know about it? Like, is there a, a blood test they get to know that they have like the precursor, kind of how you could do that with cancer. Do you have the precursor for this? Or is there like a tell sign in your body? Is there, do they know anything, or they are just like, we don't know yet. We're gonna keep searching.
Right. Yep, absolutely. And first of all, I should say, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a medical professional. So this is all my, research that I've done on my own. I have spoken with medical professionals about this, but yes, there are ways to test for and find out about your artery plaque build up in your arteries, right? Obviously, you can certainly go to any cardiologist that can perform this. Anyone who does see a cardiologist regularly would get that checked. There's a calcium artery score that you can use. A lot of it's ultrasound technology that is used to be able to see plaque buildup in that, or a CAT scan to be able to see plaque buildup in one's arteries. So the The technology is available to be able to see that. And there are advancements that have been made, solutions for for artifact problems. But the problem with that is that some of those solutions are only there, like stents being put in or other types of surgeries. They're larger surgeries. They're a much bigger to do, and they usually only reserve those for people who they deem in a serious need for that.
Yeah.
And there are people like my father, and from what we have learned, others who are passing away suddenly, but there wasn't anything about them that necessarily screamed, "I need a stent put in," or "I need a
Right.
major, triple bypass surgery," or something.
Right.
So,
Well,
I but
that,
I would.
yeah.
I would say one of my what concerns when I first was considering, doing advocacy to speak about this is that I didn't want to put people in a state of fear, because
Right.
the truth is that people don't need to be in a state of fear. They need information. They can go for something like a Lifeline screening, and they can go for $130, and you can see the plaque build up in your arteries,
Yeah.
right? There's that, and then there's very promising work being done. I think we could very well have a real cure for this in the next 10 to 15 years max, even
Yeah.
before that.
No, I think that's incredible. And the fact that you're advocating for all of this and you're keeping the conversations going. And it is just awareness. Like this, I never want you guys to walk away from a conversation like we're trying to gaslight you into fear, because we're not. It's absolutely nothing to be afraid of. I think it's just that awareness. And
Right.
$130 to do a screening, cool. You have the information, and there's proactive things that can be done at that point. So we're coming up on
Yeah.
our time here. My final question, because you went through this experience of like everything you love changed in an instant to kind of put you in a position to live a way that actually reflects what matters. We don't have to wait until we lose someone really close to us to live in that space. So what advice would you give to someone right now to understand how to not take life for granted? If you could have told yourself before you lost your dad to live this way,
Absolutely.
what did you need to hear?
I think that before I lost my father, like I mentioned before, one of my greatest takeaways and things that I want to share with people is just how easy it is for us to, get into a fight with a parent or a loved one, a friend, or to hold on to anger over things, sometimes small things that really bother us. I'm a totally different person now after my father's passing. I always joke that my mother could do the worst thing to me on the planet, and I would just be like, "You know what? She's had a bad day. We'll get her
Right.
to do some. We'll get her on some meds.
Yeah.
We'll get her to see someone." I'm just the most, because I just know I'm so grateful to not hold on to any anger, and to be able to love and accept my loved ones the way that they are, because I just know that when they go, it's so much worse,
Yeah.
and you will regret every moment that you didn't just love the person exactly as they are. And I feel people that hear that and that end up, if they, are able to incorporate that into their lives, it's hard
Yeah.
to do sometimes, but just to keep that in the back of their minds, I truly believe that they could live happier lives without regret. And I'm
Yeah.
so happy to be able to share that. I loved and love my father, profusely. His memory and his values live on. And, I sort of choose to believe that his memory and presence is still with us somehow. That's how I
Yeah.
memorialize him. And, people can do the same if they want to.
Yeah, I agree. So you guys heard her right now. I'm assuming y'all are making some phone calls. Okay. Call your family, call your loved ones, say I'm sorry or say I forgive you, whatever it
You won't
takes. Because,
regret it.
yeah, I
You won't regret it.
definitely, I feel this. And as morbid as it sounds, whenever I've been in a situation with someone that's close to me, or even as a mom, I'm a stay-at-home mom of six kids. And there were days that I would just be like, okay, this is all too much. And I would actually think, like, what if I woke up and didn't have one or more of these kids? Like, was I a good mom today? Good enough that if something happened and they, passed away in their sleep, am I doing the right thing? I literally would take myself there. like to imagine, you know, even with family. And I, you know, I've told this to my husband, like with just even some estrangement, because our families are messy. Families are messy.
Of
Okay.
course, Bob, you're not alone in that.
Yeah.
You're not alone in that.
Right. So my thing was to him is like, whatever you decide, and I'm saying this to you guys listening, whatever you decide, however you are with your family, there's this whole cutoff culture that I think is bullshit right now. It has become a culture
Completely
with
agree.
social media brainwashing. I just think it's bullshit because we're all human. We're
We're
all
all
human,
human.
and everybody makes mistakes.
Yep.
And social media doesn't get to dictate that your life was traumatic. It just doesn't.
Correct.
Okay. Your
Correct.
parents made dumb mistakes. And like I've told my husband, you know, whatever decision you make, if you are or aren't going to talk to them, I just want you to sit with the fact, like, if they died tomorrow, would you have a regret? That's it, you guys. Ask yourself, the person you have a problem with, literally, you get the phone call tomorrow, so and so's gone. Would you have any regrets? And if you still make the same choices you make, I respect that. But I really want you to take that serious and ask yourself that question. Would you have any regrets? Because I think you would, you know, and it's taking yourself out of the pride and ego and just really thinking, like, what would I do if this person passed away tomorrow? So,
Yeah, absolutely.
Julia, I'm going to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just your story, okay? It's what you chose to do with it. You took the most devastating something that could have shut you down, and you turned it into this beautiful awareness, into advocacy, into something that's going to help other people be more prepared and not feel so alone, even on the other side of this. And I think that takes an incredible amount of strength to step into a new identity, while mourning one of the greatest parts of you, to become someone new in that space, and to be able to share so freely. You know, it takes so much courage and it takes so much heart. And I think that makes you an incredibly special person. And I'm glad that the world has someone like you in that space. And truly, you know, sorry for what brought you to this position, because I can just see the love you have for him is palpable. And that's why I think you're honoring his legacy in such a beautiful way that nothing would make him more proud, that he was like, all right, this all worked out. She's doing so great. So, to everyone listening, you guys stop waiting to have the conversations that matter. Stop waiting to appreciate the people that you love, because life is fragile. It is short, but the whole point is to make it meaningful. God doesn't waste a single moment, and neither should we. So, I want you to be present. I want you to be intentional. And please remember that your mess is your message. Even the grief, even the loss, even the moments that broke you, this is where your voice gets depth. So, if this episode spoke to you, I want you guys to share this, because there is someone that needs to hear Julia's story. If Julia's story meant something to you and you know this conversation needs to get out, make sure you leave a written review, because that's how it gets seen. So, please share out her story. Make sure you get resourced. Julia, where do people find you, follow you, get resourced?
Absolutely. So I'm on Instagram and I'll be back on Easter as Lumière de votre vie, which of course is French for light of your life, which the work that I'm doing now is certainly the light of my life. And certainly if they want, they can get in touch and learn more about the research that's being done at the Heart Foundation. They can go to the website, which is www.theheartfoundation.org. And from there, if they want to donate directly to the fundraiser in my father's name was John George Lindenthal, and they can do that directly from the website.
That's amazing. Again, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for getting so personal with us and helping people to just understand this experience. And you guys, for you listening, if you're ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special.